La fleur de la solitude. Episode 1. Le café noir. Black coffee. Love does not dishonor others. Ma odlično, ni engleski danas.
J'arrive! J'arrive! Coming!
Oh mon dieu! You are completely wet!
I'm sorry for being so late. I wanted to buy a croissant in the bakery, but... an idiot. I forgot the stupid mask, and as I couldn't enter, I returned home and... when I was back, it was crowded. It really, really got complicated. I can't stand this situation anymore.
No worries, chérie. Everything is fine. How many times more will you apologize? I wrote to you that everything is fine. And please, no idiot words here. Especially to yourself.
I apologize, Elle. Are you still sure I can do the cleaning?
Look, vacuum cleaner is over here, already waiting for you.
Bien. I thought you might have changed your mind.
I didn't. My word is like a contract. Although I have to admit that still I don't feel very comfortable with the fact that an artist cleans my office.
Well... such an artist that is not capable of producing her own work.
please, let this also be the last time you say such a thing. S'il te plaît, take off your boots and give me your coat. Please stay on this towel and take off your clothes. Everything but the laundry. We don't need you to get sick, right? I will put it on the radiator in Léa's office. Here's the blanket.
Oh, merci. Léa?
Oh, yeah. Mon assistante. She's on annual leave. Don't worry. Go to the room. It's much warmer than in the hallway. In the meanwhile, I will bring the water and le café. Or are you too excited for a coffee?
No, me? Excited? but... maybe it would be better to drink it after the cleaning.
In your laundry? Chérie, pas de pression. First, le café et conversation. And cleaning later, okay?
Okay. You are the boss. Un café, s'il vous plaît.
J'aime mieux ça. Le café arrive. Avec sucre du lait.
Ah, non, café noir, simple. At least something is simple in my life.
Mmh.
Le café. Watch out, it's hot.
Oh, merci. When I was a kid, I just loved days like this one. It would be cold outside. The rain would fall. If we, the pupils, were lucky, the wind would tell us, stay at home today. No school today. Keep on dreaming in your warm beds. I can still hear it talking. That forest that's gone for a long time. That forest heard so many stories during the summer days. Secret love stories. Stories about won and lost battles between the bunkers that children made out of tree branches. And where they prepared the best meals for their imaginary partners. Always the same game. Moms and dads. That forest was a witness of hidden and painful sides of many marriages. Of so many stolen points on bowling with wooden bowls of passionate Dalmatians that enjoyed arguing in the sunset of a heavy summer day. And so many recipes of Dalmatian kitchen. That forest scented the most beautiful smells of freshly made apple pies that had just left my mother's oven. And Turkish coffee. That aroma of Turkish coffee. Then I didn't know its taste. Then I didn't understand why have all the women from my neighborhood, from my street, every late afternoon during the summer gathered in the shadow of the old pine trees around the stump so they could talk and drink their coffee. I understand it today. And most of the time, I drink it alone. Until that asphalt came, everything was just fine when there was that macadam road. Yes, there was more dust, but ironically, it seemed much better when it was dirty. It was much more promising. On that dirty road, I heard that I wasn't supposed to be the only child anymore in my family. On that red, dusty road, my wish was about to come true. And as that black road came, the better one, my wish stayed there. Buried under that hot, steamy asphalt. They had to build all those buildings, because that's not enough. There's not enough concrete around us. And there are not enough areas without trees. No, we need to cut it all. Zap, zap, zap. So, how powerful just the smell of coffee can be, huh? I could watch this rain endlessly.
As all the souls were crying together, without stopping,
I just had an aha moment. You know it?
Uh-huh.
I just remembered when I came here at Recollet for the first time, in 2013. It was July the 2nd and the second day of the official entry of Croatia into the European Union. I got here to work on my, it was supposed to be my first authorial project with the with the forest as a theme. And it was inspired by the work of Radovan Ivšić, our famous surrealist who contributed to French culture as much as he did to his own. Just at that time, my people didn't get it. Politics and all that stuff that I even don't want to get close to made him a foreigner in his own country. He was an extremely authentic author. I mean, I cannot compare his work to anyone's. And now I'm sitting here and taking you straight to my forest. Sounds almost like a full circle.
Pourquoi almost?
I never made the project. As a matter of fact, when I think of it, that was my first authorial abortion. But the great thing about this Centre Recollet that I admire the most is connected to the way culture is nurtured here in France. That's an example worth seeing. So, one comes au Recollet to do a research, but if one doesn't finish it during its stay, there are no special consequences or punishments, as there is no obligation to make the project happen. Bref, you are free to develop your work in any way you feel like. They support your freedom by supporting your art. And if you are a bit responsible, you will be grateful for that.
Vraiment?
Yeah.
Wow. Très bien. Oh là là. I'm proud of my people.
You should be. I mean, and I really feel grateful. That generosity towards cultural diversity opened a whole new world for me.
I'm glad that they had chosen you.
Thank you. Me too. And you know what? My self-esteem was so low at that time. But something gave me strength while I was writing that first application. I was driven by a higher force.
Did you ever regret it? Coming?
No way. It was such a difficult school. Oh Lord, so many lessons. Some of them were even repeating afterwards. But I needed it. Because of Radovan Ivšić, I started writing my poetry. As a matter of fact, that's how I started my self-conversations. My solitude journey started with him. I felt as I wasn't worthy of his work. I came to Paris and started peeling the layers of a 30-year-old onion. After a long time, I started to think about the music again, about making some atmospheric music inspired by the rhythm of Radovan's poems. You can take everything from me, but I will not give you my dreams. If he came to my life just to give me this thought, he gave me enough.
New eyes of freedom.
Voila.
Sometimes one sentence or one word can save us.
His art took me straight to the art of Frida Kahlo. Why do I need feet when I have dreams to fly?
Yes, the famous quote everyone should follow.
But there was one crucial moment when my womb wanted to jump out. I will never forget it. There was one artist, also a Dalmatian, who got married and lived and worked in Paris for a long time. And we were preparing my performance here in Paris in 2013. And one day during the rehearsal, he asked me, "What do you really want? Why are you here?" "It's not the Radovan's work," he said. "Radovan did it for himself. What can you do for yourself? What's your urge as an artist?" Whoa. Those questions stabbed me right into my heart. Eventually, it will be clear how important Crossroad for me was that moment that left me paralyzed for days. My true low self-esteem said, "Coucou, bonjour." I felt as the biggest imposter in the world and as the lost kid in a big store at the same time. A kid who lost his mom. That's one of the rare strong feelings, fears I recall from my childhood. Guess everyone is stained with it. My whole womb was on fire, peeling from the inside. Even though I was in a long and stable relationship, I felt alone as a wolf, and the winter was coming. There was no light on the horizon, only a mountain to climb, and I was barefoot. There was no myself I knew, only the one who was trying to breathe.
For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whatever you consider under my sake, Frida, is fine as long as it calms you.
Well, now I understand it, but before, I was blind. I was crying for 3 days. The sun was my companion. The river and I were just flowing. She knew the way. I didn't.
Sounds like an intro of a story with a beautiful potential to be continued.
I don't know how beautiful it can become, but it became a painful poem. A poem in prose. I titled it as, I sat by the banks of the river Seine, and I cried.
Love is born through pain.
From that moment, nothing else was ever the same. Merci.
Pardon. No one likes cold coffee.
Ah, merci beaucoup. Elle, what kind of oil is this one?
The oil? Cèdre. Je pense cheddar in English.
Isn't that a cheese?
Cèdre wood.
Ah, cèdre, pas da.
Voilà, peut-être cèdre.
Oh là là, quelle prononciation linguistique, elle.
J'adore cet œil. This oil centers me immédiatement. Remember when you asked me how I clean my head? Voilà, je vous présente mon life coach, Cèdre. Et Angelica oil, from the last time. She's my psychotherapeut. She makes me confront myself directly to the point. Boom.
I guess she has the same influence on me too. She took me straight into the forest. Intéressant.
Yes. Like my plants, they are my friends. I need them more and more. But spiritual people like you, they make a difference too.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. I've been noticing something and I'm interested to know if you are aware of it, okay?
Okay.
Do you know that you are exaggerating by saying thank you all the time?
What? I'm exaggerating? Oh, how can one exaggerate with gratitude?
You are right. In general, you cannot. But if you are not saying it, it doesn't mean you don't mean it or feel it. It goes into your energy and anyone who needs to feel it will feel it. In this way, it is very possible to get a contra-effect. It can become a burdensome.
Being grateful is being burdensome?
Okay, an example. Do you think your mom loves you? Cares about you?
Is this some tricky question?
No.
Of course I do.
Okay. Even though you told your mom many times that you take good care of yourself and she sees it, does she still ask you every day if you ate well? What did you eat? When you come to her place, does she tell you 15 times to take more food, even though you are an adult and you've been taking good care of yourself for more than 2 decades?
Who doesn't deal with that?
So, do you find that burdensome?
Of course. You just cannot explain it to her.
So do you get me now?
You want to say that I'm boring like my mom? I mean, our moms?
No. I just want to give you an example of how good intentions can suffocate us sometimes.
I agree, but it's not the same thing. We don't know each other well, you and I. I appreciate your generosity, knowledge, and experience, time, and I want you to know that. I mean, I don't want you to think that I might be ungrateful, so it cannot be the same.
Okay, I see. Do you have some kind of notebook?
Yeah, I have my notebook always.
Can you write down what you just said?
What?
That, what you just said.
But you heard it. Why do I have to write it down for you now?
Not for me, Sherry. For you, darling.
Okay.
Just be patient. You will get the answer. So, can you read it now out loud, please?
Really?
Okay. Do I have some experience in what I do? Do you think I care?
Yeah.
Am I older than you?
Come on.
That was a tricky one. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Water. I would just like you to trust me a bit more and relax. Read.
Okay. We don't know each other well, you and I. I appreciate your generosity, knowledge, experience, time, and I want you to know that.
Okay, but that's not all.
What do you mean? I said it exactly that way.
I'm sorry that I cannot record this session so I could play it now, but I am used to it. That is very usual.
What?
To drop out the most important thing. Do you remember that you also said, I don't want you to think that I might be ungrateful?
I said that out loud?
Yes. Very often we give importance to the less important things. Depends on perspective. My perspective is completely different than yours. I hear differently than you. Each person is right from her own position. There is no right or wrong. There is only a different perspective. Why don't we blame a kid for the lack of knowledge or an awareness? Because we are aware of the fact that a kid has to grow, has to evolve, and it takes time. We understand it because we've been through that process. It's the same with the adults. We see what we want to see, what we understand, or what's easier to understand. Everything else we neglect, try to change, explain, but very rarely, and not until someone tells us, we realize it on our own. And why should we? We tried so hard to hide it from ourselves. And now, when we are told that it's not well hidden, we are in shock. Kids talk like that. I am right, you are wrong. And when we act like that, I want to say that we act like kids.
You want to say that my parents are childish? Because it seems that they talk like this?
Bien sûr que non. All I wanted to say is that our words and actions talk about the level of self-development we are on.
Ça veut dire my parents and I are on the same level?
No, I just took that as an example, but it doesn't have to be a rule. Do you think you are on the same level as them?
Until a few minutes ago I didn't, but now you made me think. Generally, we are never on the same level. Well, I would prefer saying page. As I'm learning more and more, we are separating more and more. Whenever I think I've made progress, our communication proves me that I didn't make a move. When I think I have the understanding, the patience, the calmness to approach them, it always ends up like I have everything but that. If you know where to buy the manual, please direct me.
I know it's not easy. I admire your effort.
Obviously, they don't.
What do you mean?
Sometimes I think they don't have a clue of what I do. Or at least what I'm trying. When I try to explain it, they don't understand it and say that I'm so complicated and that it is not easy to bear with me. I'm trying to cope with a time that is too fast even for me, and I struggle. In that way, I understand that it is not simple for them to pop into my train as being 3 decades older. But then, if I don't tell them, they say I'm underestimating them. I just don't know how to balance all this. I'm aware of all the facts and limitations, but I also see all the options and possibilities. If we all put some more effort in trying to understand each other, we would achieve miracles, especially parents with their children and vice versa. I don't say that kids are smarter. There's still a lot to learn. We need our experience. But today, the whole world has changed. I'm still amazed with the internet. And I'm 38. Oh, sorry. 39 from the last week. I'm still in shock about this technology. I thank God every day that I'm living in a time in which it's possible to soothe our pain with painkillers, natural medicines, and when we can see each other on the screens. And yet, my mom, until yesterday, didn't want to write a message or call me with a camera. I don't know how to explain it. In one moment, she's choking me with love and care, and in another, she doesn't want to... Today, nothing is far. We can share our life even being apart. For me, this is a freaking miracle. Why are people so ungrateful? And yes, I might sound as a weirdo to some people, but you know what? I am thankful to God every day for these possibilities in my life, and I will never forget how it was for people that didn't have all these treasures. If that is boring, yes, then I'm a boring person. But as my parents knew better how they lived when I even wasn't born, and they do not find the way to improve their knowledge and skills a bit in order to have a better life, does this make them ungrateful?
You know that we are all different and that we all want a better life, right? But for different people, better life means something different. What's good for you doesn't mean that it's good for someone else too, including your parents.
One of my biggest fears is that I will be worse than them. I mean, when I'm older, I won't be able to fit in, to cope with time, and that I will always be left behind, alone. But then again, not because I think someone will physically leave me, but because being aware of my weaknesses, I will not allow myself to be anyone's burden. And then I will slow down, stay still, and deliberately lag behind.
Do you think that they think they cannot fit in? Is that some kind of a problem for them?
Not really. That is my presumption.
You know that presumptions rarely bring something good. They only tie us to our past.
Of course, I agree. I don't mean that they are bad. I love them. I can say I'm very grateful for having them as my parents. They're so proud, and I could always say that I'm so blessed with the support I was given too. Just this continual misunderstanding leads nowhere. I can go to all the schools, have all the talents, time, money in order to approach them, but if they don't do their part at least a bit, I don't see the point. And these kinds of situations only pull me back all the way. And I go back into the anxiety cycle. I'm so grateful for having a family in my life. But whatever I do, whatever I accomplish, it seems like I will never be able to learn that language. In addition to that, the contemporary Christmas spirit is not helping at all. It just reminds me of the general lack of love and mutual misunderstanding. When someone mentions Christmas, I imagine shops and consumerism. Is that normal? When I mention the mass, the atheists look at me as a conservative one. Judgment from all the sides. They celebrate Christmas, and do they know why they do it? For most of the kids, Christmas is just presents. Lots of presents, Christmas tree and light bulbs. I don't want to judge them for their choices. I just like that we start taking some responsibility. If you are religious, follow it. If you are not, don't. Do whatever you want. Just let us stop being hypocrites and mislead our descendants. I want to see love again. I want to feel it. Instead, I feel confused and without any perspective, especially now. Who knows until when we are going to wear these masks? When one virus goes away, another will come. I could say that I feel overwhelmed by Weltschmerz.
Mal du siècle.
Mal du siècle. Like, it is not personal, just, I guess it is the empath thing. And I feel like one. And definitely, I don't think about killing myself. No, never been there. I mean, there. I had thoughts, like how to live until I die, how much more, and how I need to survive. And even worse, why? But never imagining, like visualizing doing it. No. Few years ago, I really had time of my life. like a steady water for a long time. In all spectrums of my life, nothing was moving, and I was standing in the middle of it, not being capable of doing anything. By that time, I realized that forcing something is not the way. And at that point, the waiting and patience phase came. But that life period, like seeing big rocks wherever you look. Never-ending view, no horizon, followed by a roller coaster of thoughts and feelings that were so pulling me down.
Have you heard the phrase "we are surrounded by our mirrors"?
Yeah, many times. Sometimes I would get it, sometimes not really, but... As for a long time, I thought that others know better than myself what's better for me. The phrase "listen to yourself and listen to the environment" confuses me even today a bit.
For everything, we need time. We need time to learn how to understand. First, how to understand ourselves and then the others. That's the only way. It is not just learning theories. That's what most school systems lack. Practicum done at the same time with theory. We would get it faster and easier. But we also like to complicate things, don't we?
You can freely say, like me.
I would say it if I would think that way. Frida, do you think I am your mirror?
For sure, I will make a mistake.
Can you write that down too?
I'm sure I will make a mistake. Oh, okay.
Okay. What is a mistake for you? Fast, first association.
My coat? I visualize it as my coat. Something that covers me. I'm full of mistakes. Kind of. My first monodrama is all about my mistakes and how they have blocked all my progress. I was waiting for the winds to push me almost all my life. They never came. But they didn't come because I was waiting in the wrong place. Between the walls inside, hiding. When I stepped out and gave myself a chance in a different way, the wind began to blow. First as a breeze, and later on as the wind of change.
I love that song. Do you know the story behind?
No.
It became the anthem of the war. Everyone thought it was connected to the fall of the Berlin Wall, but in fact, it was inspired by their previous Soviet Union concert tour, when they were forbidden to play in Moscow. So they wanted new generations of Germans to do something good for Russia in accordance with all the bad things previous generations did to them.
What was the name of the band?
The Scorpions.
Ouais. Ah, je me souviens.
How far did you two get?
Me and my collaborator?
Ouais.
Ah, wanna hear?
Vraiment? You have it here?
Yeah. Again, I will never stop being amazed by the internet.
C'est un privilège.
But it is in Croatian, you won't understand it.
Did I understand it the first time at the concert?
No, but... it's just a demo that we made last night, and it's only two parts of it. I was so excited that I've been listening to it all night.
Because of this you didn't sleep, okay. I felt like you didn't sleep well last night, and that could be the cause of the dark circles around your eyes.
Ouais. C'était une nuit blanche.
Oh, you learn very fast.
It's just that sometimes I can surprise myself too.
Ja sam čovjek od kože, krvi mesa, činim greške. U svom miru radije nego u pravu odabirem. Dok sam živa ući ću makar i pješke, ne odustajem. Nisam laka, nisam val, nestajem čim taknem žal. Plima sam, ne oseka. Nisam laka, nisam pero, letim više vašim smjerom. Žaj mi je da ni lakše za vas, za mene. Za nas. Divljak hrme podiže, ona ista odrače. Kad se punti putem pogube, i ko bi rekao da može da vaše noku tako poseban, jednom posatolovan i težak. Nisam laka, nisam val, ne nestajem čim taknem žal. Plima sam, ne oseka. Nisam laka, nisam pero, ne letim više vašim smjerom. I žaj mi je da ni lakše za vas. Nisam laka, nisam val, ne nestajem čim taknem žal. Ne oseka. Nisam laka, nisam pero, ne letim više vašim smjerom. I žaj mi je da ni lakše za vas.
It is not done yet.
It is just for me. I promise no one will hear it.
Okay, I will. What do you think it is about?
I heard a lot of pain in its harmony.
The title is something like, I am not easy, but as I said, the third part is missing.
Okay, ça marche. For more impressions, I need to translate the lyrics.
But I can send it in English. Just, it's literal translation. Anyway, I have to do it for my collaborator. Because Google won't translate words from Dalmatian, Croatian regional dialect.
Parfait.
The best sign for me is that I'm at peace with it. It came straight from the heart to the paper and the piano keys. But we struggled with the arrangement. When I started this last journey and stopped comparing and competing, my life really started making sense.
When you became a messenger?
Right. Oh my God. I said that at the concert. Oh, and you still remember? That's when I stopped questioning my ways and just did them. That's how my soul was poured into my music. It wasn't me. It was God's finger. And I couldn't question that.
Do you really think that it was only God's finger?
Okay, I did something too. Put my fingers into action. And I had some. Okay, I had some music knowledge. But not enough to compose it only on my own. Acts and thoughts of serving boosted my empathy and served me as the bridge over troubled water.
Good. Today, you are all about the songs.
Yeah, seems like. But all these songs came out of life. Every song has its story, right?
Exactly. Maybe you should take a pen and start writing. At home. Not now.
I know, just kidding. Yeah. Both oceans are serving me. Just inspiration comes and goes in life. And getting your time is a luxury. So I'll stay here until I can.
Art comes out of life and then goes back to it.
Closed circle.
Le cercle fermé. Ouais. Do you still think today that others think better than you, for you?
Thank God, no. I listen to them, but not as someone who's in love with her messengers, but as someone who considers messengers as transmitters of the message. I mean, the lesson. Now is the opposite, I guess. As I'm getting closer to my authenticity, I'm thinking a lot about the potential loss of my closest people. They're not used to me.
If they are here for a season and not for a reason or lifetime, does it matter?
Yeah, love that one. But even myself, I am not accustomed to a new self. When I realize how much time and space I need for this journey of solitude towards authenticity, it... I think that I understand why I am alone. In any other way, it wouldn't be possible for me to find myself. That's it. I was blessed by all the tools and possibilities to do it. And that's the only answer that suits. Some days, I feel like I came to this planet only to find out who is there under this skin. It is exciting and terrifying at the same time. When I think that way, all else becomes irrelevant. All daily worries, plans.
Welcome to reality. Bienvenue.
You said it as all this what I've experienced so far is not a reality.
Well, it is the way you choose to believe it is. I believe that real life, the life that God gave us, is free from suffering, pain, misfortune, misery, and guilt. This is what I have chosen to believe in because I decided to feel better in my skin. And that is my truth. And consequently, I live that way. Previously, I lived in the same world you are living in and paid too much attention to others. When people are faced with the choice of either attachment or authenticity in their relationships, most will go for attachment first, seeking approval and recognition from others instead of learning how to give it to themselves. We trust more to others than ourselves. I listen to you and I hear that you are on the good track. The way you think, feel, analyze, but still a lot of self-sabotage, a lot of miles to go. If it would be easy, Frida, everyone would be authentic. That's why today it is easier to go to the moon than to discover your inner planet. The galaxy inside of us is much bigger than the one that surrounds us. Just a lot of dark there. And no one likes dark as much as you do.
Again? You really don't like my style. Can't believe it. I don't like dark that much.
You don't? Why do you keep wearing only black clothes?
I don't wear only black. I also wear blue, indigo blue, and I mean, I like elegance, and very often I see it in dark colors. Come on, everyone's wearing black. It's a classic, a must-have. Okay, you are an exception. You're fond of light colors, which I consider very beautiful. Wait, since you're pulling my leg, I haven't seen you dressed in anything but white too.
Yes, we make a balance in the world. Black contains the whole spectrum of colors. It absorbs all of them. But too much of black, as it is the thickest color, can give an impression of heaviness, can be dangerous, and lead to depression. Au contraire, if balanced, for example, combined with white, it is soothing. It balances the polarities of the individual. Yes, choosing one color for sure makes life more simple. Less decisions necessary to make in one day. Nuns wear it as the symbol of protection, repentance, and simplicity. It calms highly sensitive people. Does it?
Wait, I look like a nun? Okay, you're not the first to tell me that, but I know who I am. Anyway, black is very practical. We always need black clothes, right? Especially here in Paris.
And as with white tennis shoes, black clothes are must-have. It seems you are in trend.
You see? Just, I don't do that. Somehow, I have some issues with following the trends.
Okay, you are really on a good path. Authenticity is actually never in trend.
Anyway, black is a safe belt. Whenever I feel down, low, that's a safe zone. At least one thing I can control.
Are you satisfied with your appearance? Your look, figure?
So grateful that I am. Yeah, I could be fitter.
Let's be honest, there are always possibilities for progress.
I just don't work out as I could and should have. Not for the good of the figure as much as for my health, the knees. It was part of that process.
Leave your shame here when you leave the building.
Right. I think that was one of the main lessons that I got there. Something became more important than myself. Oh, I apologize. I completely forgot to put my phone on silent as I came with the storm. My mom. I'll read it later. Where were we? Ah, the message. Wow, what timing, huh?
Voila. They hear us. Can you then consider your parents as your messengers?
Of course they are. I just can't read their message. Kidding. As I said, for that language, I just have no talent.
Did you speak English this well the moment you started learning it?
Of course not, but for me, the process of accepting the fact that I am more open to life than my parents was like walking the Chinese wall. I was postponing it for a long time. I didn't want to accept that I am grown up and that I have to take responsibility. Responsibility for my sight, my feelings, thoughts, and disappointments. That was one of my wake-up calls. Seems like all else was easier. 'Cause you can change everything but the members of your family. And yes, I think that responsibility is completely mine. And this was too long to write it down. Can't remember.
No worries, I heard you. And I know you heard yourself. Just like you hear yourself every time but ignore it.
Now I have some inner knowledge and I'm aware that I don't use it enough. Like with talents, when we get them, we should multiply them, share, serve them. We were created to create, right?
So, why don't you act like that?
I do, just that I feel it's not enough. I guess from that fear of still
not being accepted for who you are at the moment. Not according to what you achieved or what you could achieve. I might sound rough now as never before. And I understand if you will stop seeing me. But I have to tell you in the most direct way because I feel that I can. Frida, I think that you are ungrateful and that you want others to think that you are not. Of course, not literally. I can understand that truth directly from my mouth can hurt, but also that it might have the best possible effect because it hits the root of the problem. It doesn't only remove the symptoms like your kind thank you. Oh, please don't take this as making fun of the beautiful side of yours that's so rare and jeopardized today. I am here to help you to see more than one color. And of course, getting out of the darkness very often hurt the eyes. Very often in moments like these, people decide to quit their search and decide to go back to black. You care more about what I think than what you think because of a deeply rooted fear of not being accepted.
Not far from the truth. I already figured that out with my analytical brain, my cross and my wings. I know all that. Just this live face struck me from a side I've never seen before. When my music became a project, it all went downhill. I started making music in order to help myself by confronting my feelings.
Yes, and that's what people hear in it. That's what they felt at your concert. Even though we didn't understand the words, the truth was in there. And as we are all connected, all of us that were present there heard ourselves in your music. You were our voice. In its root was the universal fear of not being accepted. Just as even though we didn't experience what main characters in movies, theater plays, and books have experienced, our inner being reacts to that. We are all born with a fear of being dropped and fear of loud noise. All other fears are acquired. And at the same time as babies, we have the attention from people surrounding us non-stop, primarily from our parents and family. We are used to being in the center of attention, and that is acquired too. So, as we are getting older, when we lose all this attention, we start noticing the change, the lack of it. And then we start looking for the possible answers by criticizing ourselves. Where the crucial critique is, I am not good enough. In this way, we are dishonoring ourselves. It doesn't have to be obvious, but if we are neglecting our original voice inside of us, we are doing it directly to others. Hiding your own truth is not fair to anyone. Pardon. Even though we think we will lose something by losing some status, job, lovers, even kids of our own, we don't see how we've lost ourselves first. And everyone deserves only the best version of himself. Or herself. I apologize if it will make you feel uncomfortable because I don't know your attitude towards it. And as we talk about honesty as the base of any relationship, in terms of God, as everyone's father, he wants to see the best of his child. His child blooming. It is so normal and logic that your strong subconsciousness is getting out in a way it does. I agree. Two magical words are changing the universe. Love and gratitude. But there is also the third one. Forgiveness. Before they are expressed to someone else, could you honestly tell them just to yourself?
Now? It's a bit weird to tell it to yourself out loud.
Okay. Come on, easy. Close your eyes and try.
I love you. I thank you. And I forgive you.
Now say it as you really mean it.
I love you. I love you. I thank you. And I said
it lots of times, and I really don't know what's... It's not getting out. I forgave myself. I know that I did everything the best way I knew.
We all do.
Elle, I have no regrets anymore.
C'est normal, chérie. We are done with one lesson. Another one comes. It's a natural, never-ending disorder in order. In order to continue, to move on, we have to accept our past completely. Our parents are our own projection. The hardest thing to see is ourselves in the eyes and acts of others.
Can you forgive them?
Yes. Yes. I know that if they could and if they knew better, they would too.
Does it still make you feel guilty sometimes?
How did you know?
You fit the pattern, Sherry.
You mentioned those two fears that we are born with. I could say that the guilt was my third. Sometimes I feel guilty just because I was born.
Okay. I got the message, Mademoiselle Messenger. Wouldn't like to find myself in your basket of guilt. Monsieur Vacuum Cleaner has heard a lot for today. Please be gentle with him. He wasn't active for some time.
No worries.
Clothes, sponges and cleaning detergents are prepared in the toilet. And I have just one condition. Whatever you do, please don't move the plants. I spent a decade trying to find the perfect spot for each. It is of vital importance for them. And when you are done with everything, I will show you how to clean the plants. Bien?
Bien sûr. Aucun problème.
Okay. I will be in Leia's office, so you don't have to take me to the hospital. Because if you'd had to take me to the hospital with that friend of yours, it might be too much for today.
All right.
And if you need me, just call me.
Sure. Look, already ready.
Bonne chance. Good luck.